Turn with us to Psalm chapter 25. Psalm chapter 25. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. I want to preach to you tonight on divine direction, so you may be seated.
God bless you.
I preached from this passage of scripture this morning on exchanging misery for mercy. Tonight I'm going to preach on divine directions from this same psalm. There are two movements in this psalm. One is a petition for forgiveness of sins, and the other is a petition for direction for life. And those two things go together. Once a person becomes aware of their need of forgiveness of sin, and they begin to seek God to be forgiven of their sins, they receive that forgiveness. They begin immediately to seek God for divine directions for their life. And there's a reason for that. And he said in this passage of scripture, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Verse 4, verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. In thee do I wait. On thee do I wait all the day. The person who has truly repented of his sins is not anxious to go back to those sins. So in order to stay away from those sins, they're anxious to learn the direction God would have for their life, to steer them away from the path that brought them misery, that exchanged their misery for his mercy. And now then they are seeking God, show me thy paths, teach me thy truth. Every child of God has in them a hunger and a desire to know the ways of God. Teach me thy ways. Show me thy paths. And it really isn't in man to direct his own paths, the Bible says. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God orders our steps. Once we've surrendered our life to him, once we've forsaken that old life, the ways of sin, the paths of misery, God opens up to us the path of life and leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But in order to receive direction from God, we have to have a right attitude toward God. And you'll see in the opening verse of this psalm that the psalmist says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? Here's a man who is worshiping God. I'm lifting up my soul. This is my sacrifice to you, God. The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2, these are two of the most important verses in the Bible for you young people. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, and be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's something to lift up to God. There's a sacrifice to be made to Him. Unto thee, O Lord, did I lift up my soul. And the writer says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The most important part of your worship to God is what you give to Him of yourself. I'm telling you, that's the most important part of your worship of God, is what you give to Him of yourself. And He said, this part of me, this inner part of me, my soul, I lift it up unto the Lord. So He's worshiping God. You'll never seek God's direction until you trust Him. And He said, oh Lord, I trust you. And when you begin to trust God, you understand that God has your best interest in mind. You understand that God will not lead you in a way that's damaging to you, but He has in mind your good, wants to bless you. Then you can go to God with confidence. God, teach me thy ways, show me thy path. And you are certain, you trust in Him, you know that God is not going to point you in a way that's detrimental for you. He's going to bless you and bless your life. But in order for God to teach us, we got to have a teachable spirit. And the Bible says we will teach the meek in His way. So in order for us to be taught by God, we've got to have a teachable spirit. Meekness is a humility in this particular case, and it means humility, having humbleness of mind, having low opinion of oneself, of one's ability to direct their own way, a dependence upon God, a seeking after God for those things we don't know in ourselves. It's not in man to direct his own way. So we go to God and say, God, I'm coming to you because I do not know how to direct my life, but I'm asking you to give me direction for my life. Teach me thy ways. Show me thy path. And the person that receives direction from God, and the person that receives instruction from God, is that person who waits on the Lord. And you'll see this over and over in this particular psalm. I wait on thee, O God. Praise God. I trust in you and I wait on you. My face is towards you, Lord. I'm looking for any signal from you to point out the direction I need to go in. I'm looking to you, Lord, to show me the way of life. So that person received direction from God, who understands his direction comes from God. He keeps his eye on God. Lord, I'm looking for a signal from you. I'm waiting on you. I'm patiently here before you, Lord. I'm not going to make a move until I know the signal from you. I get the signal from you. You give me the signal. My eyes are towards you, Lord. I'm awaiting on you. You give me the signal. I'll go the way you show me to go. Oh, sometimes we get ahead of God. Somebody said, how can I know the will of God? An old saint said, you can know the will of God if you're willing to wait on God. Sometimes we're not willing to wait on God, but when we're willing to wait on God, we're keeping our eyes on Him. We're looking for a signal from Him. Now, you're not going to get a signal from God. You're not going to see God's signal. You're going to hear His direction if you've got your eyes on something else, if you've got your eyes off of God, if you're focused on the world, you're wrapped up in the world, you're not going to get a signal from God. So many people are seeking the will of God, the direction of God, and they're not looking to God. They're wrapped up in the world and the things of the world, and they cannot hear from God because they're not looking to God. You want to get directions from God, keep your eyes on Him. He'll give you the signal you need. Wait on Him. Wait on Him in prayer. Wait on Him seeking His face. Wait on Him until God says, this is the path, this is the way, walk ye in it. And the Bible says you'll hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I'm here to tell you tonight, young person, and not just young people, but anybody that's interested tonight, I'm here to tell you that God will not leave you without direction. God will give you the direction you need. your life. If you want to know the will of God, God will let you know His will. But you've got to come with the right kind of attitude to God. It takes a meek attitude to hear the voice of God. You know, when I come to God with my own self-will intact, and I come to God with determined to have it my way, I'm not going to get any direction from God until I say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done.
That's right.
When I'm willing to say that from my heart, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. God can give me direction when I turn my life over to Him. Brother, when we say, you know, we quote this psalm. This is one of those precious psalms. Just two psalms back before this one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Praise God. This is the person that's gotten their instruction from God. This is the person that's gotten their direction from the Lord. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Brother, there's plenty of good food where He leads us. And green pastures and beside still waters. And He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How do we get to the house of the Lord? I tell you how we get to the house of the Lord. Because we have walked through green pastures and beside still waters and in the paths of righteousness and through enemy territory and through the valley of the shadow of death.
Oh,
but we've been following the shepherd all the way.
Yes.
We've said, show us thy ways.
Yes.
Teach us thy paths. And we've been following Him all the way. And that path that He guides us on is the path that winds up in the Father's house. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Because I have sought the ways of God. I have endeavored to follow the path that the Lord has led me in.
That's right.
I wonder tonight, young people, are you seeking the will of God in your life?
Helping God.
I have tried to teach you at different times about the importance of certain decisions in your life. There are some things that are going to determine, just about determine, whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. Who you marry, where you live, where you go to church, and what kind of job you get.
That's right.
Just about going to decide whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell.
Right.
And these things are not to, these decisions are not to be made carelessly. They're not to be made without prayer. They're to be made beseeching God, teach me thy ways, show me thy path.
That's right.
Whenever we get decide that we know what's best for our life, then we're headed for trouble. And many a young person is wound up in the arms of Satan because they failed to see the mind and the will of God.
That's right.
When you begin to seek God, Lord, I don't know what to do with my life. But you know the way that I take. You understand what's really important for me. And I'm going to seek the will of God until I know what God would have me to do.
That's right.
I'm watching for that signal from
That's
you.
Right.
You got to be patient. You got to be patient with God. Oh yeah, we want God to be patient with us. But you got to be patient with God and wait until you get a signal from the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God will direct you. Oh yeah, God will direct you. Hallelujah. I'm just about to finish this little message. But let me tell you how God directed me.
All right.
I got one of the best wives anybody ever had. And she's nearly 50 years old, and she is still a beautiful woman. And she is one of the best women I have ever known in all of my life. And it's amazing how God gave me this wife. know, just to give you a little bit of the providence of God in my life. When I was a young man, I had my eyes on another little girl. And I thought things might work out with me and this little girl sometime, someday. And it just seemed like it didn't. But I was at camp meeting. It's a good place to get your wife. Oh, Miss Camp Meeting, good place to get your wife. And I and a few of the girls there, and Judy and her family came to that meeting. Well, this other little girl that I was thinking about, I was bashful, you know, just real bashful. And I didn't, it was just hard for me to approach her. It's hard for me to do that. And I'm so bashful. But I liked Judy a little bit too. And Drew was out in the quarters, eating quarters, the dining hall. And Judy was sitting on the bench eating, and I walked by and just did that to her hair as I went by. I didn't know what I did. I didn't realize the effect that had. And later on, be careful, boys. You don't know sometimes the effect of little things. But that was a turning point in my life. How about that? After we got to eat, we was back on the near the tabernacle, and I saw out there just about to talk, friendly chat, and really just a friendly chat. Just trying to think of something to say. I said, where are you going to sit tonight? She thought I said, where are we going to sit tonight? And I was thinking about this other little girl. But she thought I said, where are we going to sit tonight? Well, being tender-hearted, I thought, I'm not going to hurt this girl's feelings. Wherever you want to sit, we'll sit. And sure enough, I sat with that girl that night. And from that mistake, we got married. Isn't that something? The providence of God. Now, I didn't know we was going to get married that night. I didn't know that. But years went by. There was a lot of twists and turns. But in those years, I was praying and seeking God. God, this is one thing I must not fail in. And in those years, God called me into the ministry. I knew that it was very critical that I get the right woman for my ministry. And I prayed and sought God, and God called me in the ministry, and I was liking Judy, and she had told me some time back. She said, I'll never marry a preacher. I've lived with a preacher all of my life. I know what preachers go through. I'll never marry a preacher. And God called me to preach. I dread to tell you that God had called me to preach. But one day I prayed and told her God had called me to preach. She didn't leave me. She stayed with me. Praise God. And over time, God just built the bonds and directed our paths. We wound up in the Church of Truth at Danville getting married in 1977. June 11, 1977. It was such a stroke of providence that one day we were looking at some art by Norman Rockwell, and there was a young man and a young lady standing in the courthouse, and they had to get their marriage license. And hanging on the wall was a calendar that said June 11th. I couldn't believe my eyes. That's providence. But anyway, Sister Ann Roberts bought us a plate
that has that picture on it. We've got it at our house now. A Norman Rockwell painting with this young man and this young lady standing in the courthouse getting their marriage license on June the 11th. Brother, it was ordained of God. Hallelujah. And not because Norman Rockwell painted the picture. But it was ordained of God. And I'm telling you, when you get God's direction, when you find God's way, when you seek the will of God, brother, I'm telling you, it's good enough to wait on.
Yes,
you may have to wait. You may have to look toward God, but constantly waiting on the Lord, but keeping your eye on Him. God, I'm waiting on your signal. I'm praying for your direction. If you show me which way to go, I'm ready. Just give me the signal. And if you'll keep your eye on Him, one day, He'll move that hand and point out the way.
Yes, He will.
For you to go. You have just got to be patient and wait on Him, seeking His face. Hallelujah. It may not be a marriage partner that you're looking for. It may be something else in life that you're baffled about, seeking direction for, needing the help of God.
That's right.
But you can know the will of God if you're willing to wait on God in prayer.
That's right.
And in supplication. Oh yeah, a lot of the marriages have been breaking up. A lot of it's been internal strife. My marriage has just gotten better and better over the years because of being in the will of God. Oh, it makes a difference when you get the direction of God. You know, I didn't preach this as good as I wanted to, but young folks, I'm concerned about you.
Yes.
I want you to know the direction of God.
No,
ladies, if you want a good holiness man, be a good holiness girl.
Yes,
right.
Give God.
Live a good holiness life.
Right.
You want a good praying man? You want a man that's going to lead you right? A man that's going to encourage you in the ways of God? If you're playing around with the world, you're not going to get a good holiness man.
That's right.
You're going to get somebody that's going to encourage you in the wrong direction.
Right.
If you want a good holiness man, you be a good holiness girl.
Help
God. Stay out of the world. Stay away from the world.
Yes.
Stay away from the things of the world. Pray and seek God around these altars. Amen. Prove and demonstrate before others that you mean business with God. Young men, you want a good sanctified girl? Be a good sanctified man.
Right.
Seek the face of God. Amen. Demonstrate a good life,
yep.
Character. Hey, be a good sanctified individual.
Amen.
Seek God. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Get ready to lead your family in the ways of God. Study that Bible. Because someday you're going to be teaching little girls, little boys,
right,
about the Word of God. You're going to be leading that family.
Yes.
Learn how to pray. Because someday you're going to be praying with little boys and girls around the altar at home. Someday you're going to be praying over sick children. Someday you're going to be praying with a discouraged wife.
Yes.
Seek God. Hallelujah. Get on your knees and seek God. Be a sanctified individual. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother, God will give you the kind of companion you need when you're being business with God.
That's right.
Oh, it breaks my heart.
Help me, God.
To see young people who I know need good companions, flirting with the world, and thinking that someday they'll get a companion flirting with the world. A good companion while they're flirting with the world. I'm telling you, brother and sister, I'm alarmed. Here I am after the night preaching. I thought I was through. But I'm alarmed. I'm alarmed when I see young people getting involved and entangled in the world because they don't realize the dangers that's out there. Oh, yeah. Young girls go off in the world looking for some excitement to wind up with some old boy that don't have no principles, that's wicked, and that's been consulting with devils and gets an attachment to that girl, and she can't shake it.
That's right.
He stops her.
Yeah.
He won't leave her alone. Court orders are brought. Say, you can't be around this girl. And it don't stop him. And finally, he winds up saying, you're in mine or nobody's.
Yeah.
And guns and knives and death and destruction and all kinds of things happen. You think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you it happens.
Yeah.
If you want God, if you want the ways of God, then you got to seek God. Stay in the house of God.
Yes.
Stay away from the world.
Helping God.
Be a separate people.
Yes.
Under God. Amen. Oh, yeah, be in business with God, getting these altars and people. Let God sanctify your hearts and fill you with the Holy Ghost and get you prepared for life.
God help you.
Oh, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You play with the world, you play with sin. Satan has got, he's got somebody just planted for you on the pathway of life to drag you to destruction.
Yes.
You'll seek the face of God and you'll mean business with God. God will move his hand.
Yes, he will.
And say, right here is my will for you.
Yes, he will.
Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Seek the face of God. Study the word of God. Get the mind of the Lord. Your life will be blessed by God. You know, us older saints, while Sister Judy comes to the piano, we older saints that have lived the years for Jesus learned a lot of lessons in life. We ought to encourage these young people to do the right thing. We see them straying. We see them getting out of the right way. We ought to encourage them. Speak a word of warning. Speak a word of encouragement to them. Let them know, hey, they're praying for you. Interested in your soul. We want to see you blessed by God.
Thank you. Father.